This is Marcy Schuler with 307 Net Radio, and I have Dave Bellis with me here this afternoon, and we're talking about Johnson County School District Number 1 school board candidates. And Dave, you're running again for a school board. Tell us what prompted you to run again. You've been a school board member for 8 years. What's your motivation?
So my motivation is, Marcy, is, and first I want to thank you for doing this. I want to thank 307 Radio for hosting these forums. So I still have a child in school, so that's a motivation for me. I have grandkids coming up that are going to go through the school. I'm pretty sure our family's pretty solid in this community. We're not moving anywhere. And I believe in Buffalo, and I believe in Johnson County. And so I want every kid to succeed that goes to school here. I believe in the trade programs. I want to see more of them. And those are my reasons for running.
Sound pretty solid.
So yeah, thank you.
I mean, obviously you've had experience on the board, but I want to ask, what previous experience and qualification do you have that would benefit the board?
Okay. Well, I definitely have the experience on the board. I'm on numerous different boards within the community. I run a successful business, so I have a pretty strong background in finance. I think I work well with people, and I think with my past experience on the school board, I can kind of look and tell people what has gone right in the past and maybe what has gone wrong and maybe how to tweak things.
Great. So let's talk a little bit about just Dave Bellis. So would you describe yourself as a conservative, a moderate, or a progressive? And, you know, give me a little example of what that's all about.
So, you know, you can be one of each in different categories. So I'm very conservative, especially when it comes to finance, but I'm progressive when it comes to changing the way you do things with IT stuff, even when it comes to the ranch type stuff we do. I'm always wanting to learn and wanting to progress, to do things in a better way, a smarter way, if you will, and always want to be safe at what we're doing. So
great. So you're
a little bit of everything there, depending on what you're doing that day.
I agree with that. You know, in my time on the school board, I was surprised at my views being changed by just hearing both sides of a story.
Absolutely.
I never thought I'd vote for such and such, but, you know, then I heard the reasoning and it made sense.
Yeah, it made sense and you do it, yeah. Mm-hmm. And even though you're conservative financially, sometimes to better the school, and we've been struggling with a little bit of the heating and air conditioning units, I hate to spend $500,000 on that, but when ESSER comes in and they're going to pay for half of that, then it only makes sense because in a few years it's probably going to be more with the way things are going.
Well, and it's hard to educate kids if you don't have the facilities around them, you know, comfortable.
So, absolutely.
You know, and not just kids, but teachers.
But I can remember back when we were in school and there was a teacher by the name of Dan Ahern, bless his heart. It would be 30 below and the windows would be open in his classroom because you would not fall asleep.
But did you learn anything in that class?
We absolutely did, and he made sure you did, and he would come around with a ruler and maybe tap you if you weren't paying attention.
Things have changed in
the environment.
So what will you do going forward to make sure that you're the best possible school board member? So, you know, what do you think makes a good school board member, and what going forward do you need to do?
So I think you need to learn to listen. You need to collaborate with your community. I want to know what they say. I want to know what the kids are saying. What do they need? You know, there again, I want to make sure that this school district stays fiscally responsible. I want to make sure that we're teaching to the standards and that we have the proper equipment in place for these kids to get what I'm going to call a great education. And I think Mr. Anderson said it best the other night. He said his school, which is Cloud Peak Elementary, he said, we are a good school, and the only thing holding us back from being great is we are good. And he said, that's what I'm going to strive for. I'd love to hear that kind of talk.
Yeah, there's a book administrators that talks about that. Yeah, good to great. So every board member's voice is important, obviously.
Correct.
But, you know, it's a 9-member board. You are just one voice. And sometimes you're outvoted. Sometimes you disagree with the outcome. How do you deal with that?
at the end of the day, you have to come back and you will give your reasoning for voting the way you vote. But at the end of the day, if the group votes a certain way, you have to accept it and move on. I don't want to go around the community talking about what a poor decision was made. You move on, you listen to their reasoning and go forward.
Well, and there's a lot of decisions that are made.
Oh, absolutely.
Not at any school board meeting, so I guess it's probably not too terrible.
You know, and as an example, Marcy, I voted again. The budget still has me a little concerned. We borrowed $1.3 million out of savings to balance our budget. I wish we would have balanced our budget based on the guarantee from the state. And, you know, it didn't happen. Everybody voted for the way we did it. And because of the ESSER money and different grants we're getting, it's all going to work out. But know that in 2026, things are going to get tough. We had Dave Kinski come talk to us in February. Told us to save. The school districts used to be able to save 15%. They upped it to 30%. So I hope we can save that for a rainy day, if you will, because in 2026, when the government money goes away, we need to have a savings.
So government money's going away. Tell me more about that.
Well, you have your ESSER money. And
COVID money, is that
it
right?
It is, and that money was given to us. We've got about $6.2 million. And that money was given to the different districts, depending on how many kids you had, because of loss of learning. So that money is to be spent for loss of learning to catch kids up to where they need to be.
So there's $6.2 million in Johnson County?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct. Plus the other grants we've gotten. So, like I said, we've gotten a lot of, if you will, government money to help fund the schools to where it used to be you just got your state money.
Right. That's an exciting...
well, it is, and so we've hired some paras. They have summer school, which we've always had. They have where kids can intervene in class at noon hour, or remedial is what I should say. They have where they can come in and do remedial work after school. You know, I just mentioned at the last school board meeting that I would like to send a survey out to the kids and ask them, are you getting what you need to get your education? And I'm not worried about the younger kids, we'll catch them up, but my real concern is the juniors and seniors. But having said that, sometimes, Marcy, you don't know what you don't know. So I just hope that when they go to college or a trade school or whatever they happen to do, that we have given them what they need.
And, you know, that's interesting that we got money for education in Wyoming because, for instance, our district, we missed, you know, a total of 8 weeks. I mean, that's really not a lot of lack of learning in Johnson. So that's really fortunate for us because we were still in school when most of the nation was not.
We did. We did a lot of online learning. And is it of the quality that you get when you sit in front of a teacher? I'm not here to say it is or isn't, but I guess I'm just going to guess that maybe when you sit in front of an instructor, you probably do a little better because you get to ask questions. And so it was great that we kept schools open, but I wish we could have had an instructor in front of the kids.
So you're saying but our kids were in school. They were in the buildings.
They were. I just don't think it's quite the same, but that's just my opinion.
Okay. Yeah, that brings us right to, you know, you're talking about the economy and the budget. So tough economic times
that
are going to be coming and may be here.
They are here. Inflation is probably going to get a little worse.
They require tough decisions. So are there any areas that you personally, you know, want to prioritize for either cuts or for making sure there's no cuts? You know, what are your priorities when it comes to the budget?
So I don't want to make those priorities on my own. I want community involvement. I want to hear from the board. One of the things we're working on right now is the athletics and activities. Last time I looked, we're about $654,000 over the model. And I've heard them say, well, maybe they coded it wrong, but I'm having a hard time buying the three business managers all coded it wrong. So we are over. We spent about $1.5 million on athletics and activities. And I'm not against that, but I'd like to see how much other districts are spending. And, you know, there's probably some fat in our budget, and we probably need to look at it. We don't right now because we're getting this grant money, so we're going to be good. But like I say, in 2 years, I think things are going to get a little tougher. And much like when Dr. Chase was here and he was the superintendent, we had held public forums. And the biggest thing we did was attrition, where teachers, we maybe had a few more teachers than the funny model showed, and other teachers had to step up and take those positions. And we offered early retirements, things of that nature.
So with activities, how would you do, how would you bring it back down within the budget?
Well, one of them I'll just use as an example. The football team went down to Loveland, Colorado to play, and it was a 6.5-hour drive, and I understand why they did it, because they couldn't schedule another 3A, and they wanted the kids to play, and I'm all good with that. But what probably happened there they didn't think about was the parents I talked to said, you know, gas at $3.50 a gallon, 6.5-hour drive down there in Loveland, Colorado, a motel room's $300. We couldn't afford to go watch our kids. So they had a great experience. You sometimes wonder, the Wyoming Athletic Association, do they kind of need to look at maybe to keep the kids on this side of the mountain and the other kids on the other side and not travel so far?
Yeah, those are good. Those are good questions.
I am not against athletics or activities by any means. I think they help kids, but we in our own families have to decide how much can we afford, and we're going to do, you know, when I went to school, there were 4 sports, and we have an awful lot now, but times have changed.
Yeah, that's right, though. But the tough times, you know, you do have to make tough decisions, and those are coming. So schools are expected these days to deliver way more than just classroom education. What do you think your focus is when it comes to just the basic education of children? You know, we're trying to build better people. We're trying to educate children so they leave the school environment, you know, ready for the world. What should be the priority there?
Well, I think your priorities are always your standards, your core subjects. And right now we have an 8-period day, and I think we need to relook at that. It seems to me like the high-performing districts, is the term they use around the state, have a 7-period day with 4 cores and 3 electives. And the reason for the 7-period day is so every kid sees every teacher in a core every single day. And I think that's how you learn. I think we need to look at that. I think the trades are huge. I don't think every kid is designed to go to college. And so I want to see more of the trades come. We used to have a CDL course. We're struggling with truck drivers all over the United States, especially locally. Every construction company wants them. We should probably bring that back. There's a few things we need to do there, and I think we have some collaboration going on with Sheridan College to do the CDL. And so, like I say, I hope we do more of that.
So, you know, we've really kind of hit on a lot of the topics. We've talked about, you know, who you are as a person, mm-hmm. You know, as a school board member, and what you're thinking about school board. Do you have any other issues that you kind of would like to talk about? Let the voters know. This is who I am. This is what I'm going to bring to the election and vote for Dave Bellis. Yeah. So tell us.
Well, the question you asked earlier that comes to mind is one of the reasons I reran is as I watched these boards and the different elections come down, there wasn't many people that would run, and I thought, my goodness, we've got to have people fill these positions, and I would rather see the voters elect somebody than the board appoint people. So, like I say, I thought, it's time to do that. Johns County has been my home, will always be my home. It's important to me. If I can serve my community some way, I've been serving it. I would like to continue to serve it. But if they want somebody different in there, I'm okay with that, too.
It's kind of nice to have that.
Absolutely. I don't have a chip on my shoulder about anything. Mm-hmm. I just want the kids to succeed.
Well, Dave, it's been really interesting talking with you this afternoon, and I'm Marcy Schuler, signing off for 307 Net Radio and interviewing Dave Bellis for Johnson County School Board, Johnson County School District 1 School Board.
All right. Thank you, Marcy.